Holy Ghost is showing his muscles in this house today. I feel strength in here right now. Amen. If you don't leave here today feeling like you got abs, you don't feel the Holy Ghost I'm feeling, praise God. There's strength in here today. There's anointing and power and authority and dominion. All that good stuff you need to whip up on the devil and give him a good bloody nose. Praise God. Amen. I love what I feel in the house of God today. Is it already time for the word? Let's start again. That was just too fast. Praise God. Amen. Thank you all for being here in the house of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are making this place look good. Now repent. I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. I say that because you think you look better than they do. You repent. Praise God. What a good feeling. What a good feeling. This is got to be. I'll mellow out a little bit. If it's not the greatest church in the world, it's one of them. Amen. And there's only three. I'm just kidding. What is up with me today? Help me, Jesus. Praise God. While you're standing, let's take a look at the book of Mark, chapter number 14, verses 22 through 24. And I'm sorry, Brother Tyre, that's not on the list, and I've got the sound man scrambling. I wasn't going to read it, but I feel the need to read it. And so to all of our guests, all of our visitors, thank you for being in the house of God with us today. Amen. And to all of you that are driving along and sitting at home and too sick to be here, thank you for tuning in to live media. And to the postmas, I know you're watching me on your way to your church in Houston, Texas. We love you. God bless you. Everybody look at the postmas. All right. They're precious people. Amen. I'll tell you a little bit about the postmas. They adopted your pastor when he was about 18 years old, and he lived with them until he married that lady. Yeah. Little Rebecca, she was about 2 years old. And and then Renee came along. And I think Renee's got 5 kids. Rebecca's got 2 kids. And do not try to tell those girls I am not their brother, because they will give you a hard time about that. But, hey, I was 500 miles away from home, just about that close to being homeless. Found the church, found God, got the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. And I did have one thing this dude would do is work. Amen. I've never been lazy. And I had a job and had a place to live. That was kind of playing out because they didn't pay a whole lot for minimum wage back then. And I was in prayer. And then I was approached by this family in the church, and they invited me to come. They had an extra bedroom, and they rented that out to me, $25 a week. I thought that was a good deal, and they loved me, and I just stayed with them until they shoved me out after I got married. I thought that extra room would have made a nice little apartment. Just kidding. But they've got their eyes on us, and they want to be here for our dedication of our new building, and so you'll get to meet them. They're great people. Praise God. Amen. Yes, I was a mess before Jesus came into my life. That's why I know if God can save me, he can save anybody. I don't care about the drugs, I don't care about the alcohol, where you've been, how you were raised, what your mom and daddy was and what they weren't, any of that. I'm telling you, my God can save you. These folks are clapping their hands because they can testify to this very same thing, because the word of God says, for of such were some of you. And just know, we know, amen, because he saved us. Praise God. All right, Mark 14, verse 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave to them and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood. Everybody shout the blood. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. He gave all of his blood because there were many that he was going to save and is saving. Amen. And so I want to preach for a little while on a subject simply entitled, Nothing But the Blood. Nothing but the blood. No tricks, no gimmicks. Amen. Just a little something to remind us of what the blood can do. Amen. Praise God. Lord, we ask your help. We pray your presence, your wonderful anointing, that you would let us walk in the Holy Ghost. That's going to take your mercy, your grace. And I pray in Jesus' name right here, right now, your favor upon this service in the mighty name of the Lord. And God richly bless you as you're seated. Somebody needs help today. Somebody needs hope. Somebody needs another strength, and somebody needs another anointing. There are those of you that would desire to go to the next level and the next dimension in your servitude toward God. Amen. And that being said, there's something here to help you today, because the blood has never lost its power. It's never lost its ability to reach you. Amen. And to cleanse you and to wash you. There is absolutely nothing like the blood. Praise God. Amen. That's the main concern when there's accidents. That's the main concern when there's tragedy or someone has been lacerated. They've got to get that closed up, because if you lose the blood, you lose your life. And so today, I don't want us to lose the blood. And those that need the blood need to find the blood. The old song says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can I give you some more? For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You don't hear a lot about the blood anymore in our little Christian songs. Just a lot of repetitive things. But listen, nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done. Because of all the good I've done, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and all my peace. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this, and I like this part, I shall overcome, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this, I shall reach my home, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Glory, glory, this I sing. All my praise for this I bring, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Could we praise him for the blood? Could we thank him for the blood? Could we exalt him for the blood? Hallelujah. The washing, the cleansing. Amen. To some, it may sound and seem like a gory mess, but to me, it's like washing and a cleansing and a purifying and a saturating. Amen. When the blood is atoned and given, when the blood is upon us, when the blood is doing its work, it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a powerful thing. Amen. He deserves all of our praise because he gave all of his blood. The anointing comes with the blood. Amen. Healing comes with the blood. Deliverance comes with. Saving grace comes with the blood. Amen. Amen. And I thank God for the blood. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 44. I want you to see something, this particular scripture. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Now that's a message right there. And some of you that preach, I'd like for you to build a good sermon from that. Amen. In agony, he prayed more earnestly. And some of us in agony, the more agony we feel, the more we give up. But let him be an example one more time in that when agony comes, pray more earnestly. And then it says his sweat was as if it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Amen. I'm not sure. I'll ask him one day. What did the great drops of blood mean? Did it mean they were huge? Did it mean that they were just big drops and they splattered upon that rock there where you prayed? Or does it mean that they were the greatest drops of blood that ever fell from the face of a man in the history of our world? Could it be that they were great? Hallelujah, because they came from a Savior. Could it be that they were great because they fell from the very face of God? Could it be, hallelujah, and then could it be that they were great because they were large, and that they were great because they did fall from our Savior? Could both of those reasons be right? Regardless of the reason, thank God for those great. A lot of people have bled, but nobody bled like Jesus bled. And their blood never counted like my God's blood counted. And no blood's as great as the blood of Calvary. And you may be tired of hearing about it, but today it's fresh on my mind. It's fresh in my spirit. It's fresh in my heart. I thank God for the blood. Somebody help me thank him. I can't thank him good enough by myself. I can't give him all the praise and glory by myself. I want you to see it. I want you to feel it. I want you to smell it and taste it. Hallelujah. Blood has a smell. Blood has a taste. Amen. Hallelujah. And you've seen it. I want you to see the blood that was shed for the saving grace that was splattered all over that rock. Amen. And the anointing and the overcoming that comes with it, the power, the authority, and the dominion that comes with the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. I've had past preachers refer to fallen spirits as the hounds of hell. And it's true. Many of the angels that were cast out because of their rebellion along with Satan were cast down. Somebody told me the other day, and they said, every time I hear the story about an angel, the angel is always real tall. I never thought about that before, but it's true. Amen. I've told you the story of how I walked with a pastor in the Philippines. I was preaching for him, and he took me from the conference where we were to show me his church before we went there to preach. And it was he and I, and we went into the church there. We were greeted by some of the greeters there in the church, and we went up the stairs, and he wanted to show me the building and all of that. And we walked around, and we came back down, and then we got in the car, and we made our way back to the conference. After the conference, he had to go back or whatever, the greeters asked him, they said, Pastor, when you came down, where was the third man? And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. There was only Brother Marshburn and I. And they said, no, when you got out of your car and you walked through the foyer and went up the stairs, there was three of you. There was a tall gentleman that was with you. I'm like, oh. You know, and I've seen things and all of that, and people say, and they always say the angels were tall. And then when they relate to demons, they're always real smart. I'm just telling you, the blood made him tall, and the blood made them small. And we can have victory over them all. I said, we can have victory over them all. If you could say it with your mouth and let the devil see it with your hands, there's victory in the house right now. There's overcoming power and authority in the house right now. Amen. And so then preachers, they get to preaching and they talk about the hounds of hell. And what they're referring to is these fallen angels that have become demons, and they're chasing after the people of God, the world, and all of that. And so they refer to them as the hounds of hell. And what they do is they sort of sniff out the weak, and they sort of sniff out the depressed and the misinformed, and to be honest with you, the not so serious. Even Paul with Agrippa in the Word of God itself, he said, almost, Paul, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. In other words, I like you. I like being around you. I love to hear your words. They're inspiring words, refreshing words. And just, I'm just telling you, I like you so much until almost you got me to be a Christian, but not quite, almost. At the gate beautiful, where a man lay crippled from birth, begging for alms. That was the day that the disciples put the hounds of hell at bay for him. He thought he needed another nickel or another dime. He thought he needed something that he could pawn. He thought he needed something that he could take home to his mom and dad. He's a grown man, and they have been bringing him there every day of his life. And he's begging again, once again. But this is the day that the Lord has decided, I'm tired of this. I'm not putting up, and I'm not going to condone this any longer. And that was the day that the man of God looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Christ Jesus. Rise up and walk. And that was the day the hounds of hell were put at bay. And the man stood up and began to leap for joy. Hallelujah. I want somebody to leap for joy today that hasn't felt joy in a long time. I want somebody to experience victory today that hasn't experienced victory in a long time. I want you to sense anointing. I want there to be healing. Hallelujah. I rebuke some of this stuff that's attacking our bodies. I rebuke some of these things that are coming against us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we come against cancer. We come against kidney stones. Somebody needs to help me now. We come against sugar diabetes. We come against every other infirmity. We have the right, Brother Brown. We've got authority. We've got the name of Jesus. And we've got the blood. I said we've got the blood. We've got the blood. Is there anybody excited about the blood? What can wash me white as snow? Woo! What can take away my guilt? What can take away my infirmity? What can make a dead man rise from the grave? What can unstop a deaf ear and open a blinded eye? What can straighten out a crooked limb? Woo! What can empty a jail cell? What can open? What can put a hospital out of business? Go ahead, Brother Bennett. What can walk into your daddy's house right now and heal your daddy of cancer? What can wash us? What can cleanse us? What can sanctify us? If you're depressed, you worship God right now, and He'll let the blood flow over you. If you're addicted, you get your hands up and praise your God and your God. What? can wash me? What can cleanse me? Not goosebumps, hallelujah. Not another raise on my job. Not new furniture. Not a new car. Not another hit. Not another choke. Not another snort. I'm telling you, nothing, nothing but the blood. Come on, we've been accused of being Pentecostal. We may as well act like it right now. I said we've been accused of being Pentecostal. We may as well act like it right now. Woo! Somebody shout yes! Praise God. You at your gate, beautiful. The gate may be beautiful, but you're going through some hard times. Hallelujah. Get your eyes off the gate and get your eyes on what the Lord is able to do. His ability, his capability, the blood, the saving power, the grace and goodness and mercy of God. The devil's bark is bigger than his bite. However, his bite is fatal without faith. You got to have some faith about yourself. You got to understand, hey, preacher, you don't know my story. I don't want to know your story. Amen. I get depressed enough about mine. Hallelujah. But I do know this. I know a God that doesn't love me any more than he loves you, and he don't love you any more than he loves me. And if he can love me, he can love you. If he can love you, he can love me, and both of us can make our way home. Hallelujah. But that is going to take faith. Praise God. It's going to take mercy. It's going to take strength. And I felt that strength when I walked in the building today. I felt that strength when I prayed in that building this morning. And there is strength on this campus right now. And the reason he has brought his strength, because there's some of you that are weak. And if you're weak, why don't you tag into his strength? When the blood stops, there's no more scent. And so the line is drawn. And there's no more hounds of hell. And Jesus was sent so we could follow the sin. Could it be that the first drop of blood fell on a rock in the garden called Gethsemane? As it were, great drops of blood. Amen. And then the next spill of blood was in Pilate's hall with a cat of nine tails. Nine strips of leather strapped to the wrist of a gentleman that could pick up 200 pounds with one hand. He was trained for it. That's what his life ambition was to be. He trained for it. And there he was, beating the life out of our Savior. History said that he had the ability, if leadership wanted him to, he could lacerate a man so bad until their insides begin to fall out on the ground. He could cause kidneys to fall out, intestines to fall out, livers to fall out, because he was so good. Nine strips of leather with pieces and chunks of metal tied to the end. Glass and sharpened stone and all of this, nine of them coming down on our Savior. Amen. But I could have told him right then and there, you can try your hardest, but you're not going to kill him here. That's just for my sickness. That's just for those that have the flu today. That's just for those that have a runny nose. That's just for those. That's just for those that have a headache. That's just for those that need lifting. That's just for those that need to get out of the hospital bed. That's just for those that need healing of cancer. Hallelujah. Hey, he's going further than this. He's going to do greater than this. He's going to save. He's going to heal. He's going to deliver. And he's going to set free and liberate. You hear me today? God is able. God is in the house. The anointing is here to break every yoke and to tear down every stronghold. We need to believe God for this. We need to trust him for this. Hallelujah. Are you with me here today? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some minds can't handle what I'm saying. I could care less. But if there's anybody here today that can recognize your need, I've got a God. I've got a Savior. I've got a friend. I'm not bringing tradition to you. I'm not bringing formality to you. I'm bringing the blood. I'm bringing the blood. Praise God. Praise God. And so we knew he was going to go much further than that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why? So much blood. Because it was going to be for so many people. The man's diagnosis was bad. He asked the doctor after the testing. And the doctor looked at him with sadness on his eyes and he said, "Sir, it just does not look good." And then the gentleman stopped and he said, "But doctor, what does the blood say?" Hallelujah. And we know he was asking him, we've taken blood and you can tell everything about disease and all of that from the blood. And then he asked him, he said, "What does the blood say?" I wish I could have been sitting beside him. I could have put my arm over his shoulder and I could tell him what the blood says. The blood says it don't matter what your diagnosis is. The blood says it doesn't matter what they think. The blood says it does. The blood doesn't care what the doctor just said. Let me tell you what the blood of Calvary can do. Let me tell you what the blood of Jesus can do. Amen. Hallelujah. And he was tempted. He was tested and he was tried. He was beaten. He was bludgeoned. And he bled out. And after all of that, the blood says, "You can make it. You can make it." Amen. We can follow God. We can follow the blood today to the greatest gift God ever gave mankind. And that is an altar. Today, you don't have to just hear my story. Today, you don't have to just hear my sermon. But you can act upon it. Because the Lord gave us the altar. A place where we can release all of this. A place that we can turn all of this loose. A place that we can lay all of this down. Where we can find complete rest, hope, and help in a troubled world. Amen. Do not let your sorrow become more than your Savior. I know that there are people that love to bask in their sorrows. And the more sorrow they have, the more pity they want. Amen. I don't want pity. I want pardon. Hallelujah. I don't want pity. I want pardon. I want to be set free. I want stuff relinquished. I want the Spirit of the Lord to sweep over this house today and to touch those that are at the bottom and lift you to the top. Amen. Don't you let your sorrow become your Savior, because your sorrow will never save you. Amen. Let your sorrow bring you to the Savior, where you can be set free of your sorrow by the Savior. What can wash me white as snow? Nothing but the blood. What can cleanse me? The blood. What can deliver me? Heal me. What can save and satisfy me? What can sanctify me? Nothing but the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Luke chapter 16, verse number 24. And I close with this. Hallelujah. And he cried and he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Now, when a drop of water can give you relief, you're going through hell. But if a drop of water could do what this man said it could do, what can the blood do? What can the blood do? Let's stand. I know you feel what I feel here today. Amen. And if there's anybody here today that could use a drop of blood, if there's anybody here today that can use something stronger than you, greater than you, someone that can take the impossible and make it probable and do great, wonderful, and mighty exploits. I want you to make your way to an altar. I want you to make your way to the greatest gift God gave to people, the ability to access the throne of God, the ability to call on the name of Jesus, the ability to worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is in the house. The Holy Ghost is in the house. The presence of the Lord is here. Hallelujah. And you just cry out to the Lord. Altar workers, would you help us, please? Amen. Let's believe God with somebody. Let's trust the Lord with somebody.
Never!
One more time, could we thank God for the blood? Woo. Praise God. Praise God.